This is Sunday morning. This is January the 20th, 2019. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. And we're looking at flowing in the wisdom of God. First scripture I'm going to look at is Proverbs 4. Verse 5. Read a little bit of this in an earlier teaching, but that's okay. We'll just water. Proverbs 4, 5 says, "Get skillful and godly wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget it and do not turn back from the words of my mouth. Forsake not, and she will keep you. Defend and protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. And with all you have gotten, get understanding. Prize wisdom highly and exalt her, and she will exalt and promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She shall give to your head a wreath of gracefulness, a crown of beauty and glory will she deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I've taught you in the way of skillful and godly wisdom. I've led you in paths of uprightness. When you walk, your steps shall not be hampered, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life." All right, just as salvation affords the believer divine supply and divine health, it also affords divine wisdom. As I spoke to you in past words, you will begin to sense as the swamp is being drained, as lightening up of oppression. Yes, it will be tangible. Did y'all get that? The lightening up of oppression. 2019, the year of the solving of knotty problems and the release of witty inventions. They go hand in hand. Knotty problems solved by witty inventions. And the Lord reminded me of a story called This Pig Out of the Stream. There was this village that they were dying, like, of something. And they discovered that a pig had fallen into the stream and died. And it was blocking up the water flow, and it was poisoning the water. And the people were drinking the water and dying. And they got the pig out of the stream, and problem solved. See, witty inventions. Knotty problems. Everybody's dying. What are we going to do? Wisdom came. Dead pig in the stream. As my body brings down demonic oppressive strongholds, it clears the heavens of blockades of my wisdom as well as healing and supply. Look at Daniel chapter 10. One time I had a filling. I had an old filling that the dentist took out and put in it was a porcelain filling. And from that time forth, I had pain every day. I had to buy a mouth guard just to sleep at night. And 2 years I was back and forth to the dentist. He'd say, "Well, it's got a curvy root. I'd have to send you to a specialist to have it pulled or to do a root canal." And, you know, just every time I'd go, just couldn't get clear, asking the Lord for wisdom, couldn't get clear on it. 2 years passed, and one day I go in there for just a 6-month, you know, cleaning, and he comes in, and he says, "I know what your problem is." He said, "That soft filling, it's a jaw tooth." He said, "That soft filling, every time you bite down on it, it's moving, and it's hitting that nerve, and it's going up and down like this, and that's what's causing your pain." He said, "We need to just put a crown on it." What I'm telling you. This is how this works, this wisdom with a knotty problem and a witty invention. You know, God gives the solution to the problem. Okay. Daniel 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was called Belshazzar. And the word was true, and it referred to great tribulation, and he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 whole weeks. I ate no pleasant or desirable food, nor did any meat or wine come into my mouth, and I did not anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was on the bank of the river Hiddekel, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl. His face was like the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and his feet like glowing burnished bronze. And the sound of his words was like the noise of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me, for my fresh appearance was turned to pallor. I grew weak and faint. Then I heard the sound of his words, and when I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep, and my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And the angel said to me, O Daniel, you greatly beloved man, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for to you I am now sent. And while he was saying this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind and heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come as a consequence of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I remained there with the kings of Persia. So Daniel, from the first day, 3 weeks prior, when he began to seek the Lord, fasting and praying, he was heard. But there was obstruction in the way. As my body brings down demonic oppressive strongholds, it clears the heavens of blockades of my wisdom as well as healing and supply. It has always been my will for all my children to walk in full measure in all things. This will become more apparent this year, as in the days of the voice of healing. It was a supernatural release above the norm of divine healing to speak faith in my body. It was easy to get healed during those years. Well, this year the release is for wisdom. It will solve knotty problems and release wisdom of witty inventions. God's knowledge to help the body and to stir up their faith to accomplish my will in the earth. The earth has become so oppressed, as I've told you before, on the brink of extinction. This is a supernatural divine intervention to empower my church to action. My body is supposed to work in the blessing. There's been so much oppression, it's like people in the church have lost hope. And, well, of course, the people of the world too, but mainly the people in the church. They've lost hope. It's like it's so hard. You stand for, like, you know, I have to stand for 2 years for one little thing to get an answer. Why did it take so long? Just think about in the days of Noah. Noah was the last man standing. God had to pull him out, rescue him, and he had to annihilate. He killed. The flood killed everything. Well, it says when Jesus comes, it's going to be like as in the days of Noah. Men's thinking is evil continually. It's men's thinking and speaking that causes these blockades. They speak, like we were in the last teaching, they speak Satan's words. Even Christians speak Satan's words. And what does that do? It builds a stronghold. If you've got the church all saying the same thing, what happened in Acts? They were one accord. They spoke the same thing. 3,000 added to the church, 5,000 added to the church. Everywhere they went, people raised from the dead. Lame men walked, blind eyes saw. Yeah. This is what God wants for this time. This is what's happening. As the swamp is being drained, the evil. We're talking about 190 years of swamp domination. If we could see in the spirit realm, it would probably look like the creature from the Black Lagoon down here. I remember, well, two or three years ago, I think it was in 2015, someone having a vision that the church was on a big airliner and they were flying, looking for a place to land, and everything was swamp. Couldn't find a place to land. The earth had become so polluted with the works of darkness. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Things are changing. All right, Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at the blessings. I'm thankful God gives a breakthrough, and it's like he punches a hole through the muck and lets us have a sharp revival of light coming down. The angels can get through to help us get some things done down here. 28. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your beast, the increase of your cattle, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouse and all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. As we begin to arise and begin to do these things, if enough of us do it, we can take out these strongholds. Like Mike Thompson, the Lord showed him, it was like he'd speak things from third heaven authority, and the angels would go down there and knock this out, and then these things are all building up around him. And the Lord said, it's the wicked words of men. People speaking the wrong words, building the wrong things, speaking things they don't want because they don't understand. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, and of your ground, and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open to you his good treasury, the heavens to give the rain in your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You see this? Divine finances, divine health. The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are watchful to do them, you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after the gods to serve them. There's the problem. People started turning, whether they believe in God or not, they started speaking crooked speech. Instead, most are walking under the curse. Deuteronomy 28:14, it starts talking about all the curse. We won't go into all that today. Overwhelming failure. They will, you see my blessing, it will be overtaking the curse. This is Amos 9:13 about the sower and the reaper. Well, let's look at that. Let me find Amos here. Amos 9:13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. You know what? When these things begin to manifest, we need to just be like a machine gun. Just as diligent as we can absolutely be. Expect this wisdom, James 1:5. He says he will give it to us liberally and he wouldn't hold it back from us. He wants us to have his wisdom. It is supposed to be the norm, but because of the darkness, it has been suppressed. This is revival. Revival to all my benefits and promises that are already yes. That's 2 Corinthians 1:20. It's already yes, already blessed. Galatians 3:13 says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Knotty problem solved. This is what knotty means. Full of knots. So full of difficulties and complications as to be likely to defy solution. It's so overwhelming. And I will share what my first encounter with knotty problems. Someone that I know very well, an acquaintance, not really I'd call a friend, but an acquaintance. She's good friends with a lady that I was really good friends with, and they had a problem. Their son-in-law was a doctor, and I don't know the specifics. All I know is what the Lord showed me, that I saw a pile of ropes, and they were all tied in knots. And I just shared with the lady what the Lord gave me, that if she would, instead of getting mad at her son-in-law, walk in love towards the situation, stay in your love walk, that God would untie every knot. And as far as I know, he did. I don't, you know, like I said, this was just an acquaintance. So that's the first time I ever heard of knotty problems, and just in the spirit saw big, big hill of just ropes with knots in them. It reminded me of Christmas lights. On Christmas vacation, he hands him this big knot. It's a little knot here. That's knotty, you know. That's one of those, like, you get these little tiny necklace chains and they get a little knot in it, and it's just, you get so frustrated you just want to throw it away. Right here it says knotty, full of knots, so full of difficulties and complications as to be likely to defy solution. Now there's different places in the Word of God where there are knotty situations and witty inventions solve them, but we're just going to look at one. We're going to look into the life of Joseph. This is the 39th chapter of Genesis. Now we know Joseph was a dreamer. Okay, 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain and chief executioner of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful and prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to flourish and succeed in his hand. So Joseph pleased Potiphar and found favor in his sight, and he served him, and made him supervisor over his house, and he put all that he had in his charge. From the time that he made him supervisor in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the Lord blessing was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's charge and paid no attention to anything he had except the food he ate. Now Joseph was an attractive person and fine-looking. Then after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me," but he refused, and said to his master's wife, "See here, with me in the house, my master has concern about nothing. He has put all that he has in my care. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything from me except you, for you are his wife. How then can I do this great evil and sin against God?" And she spoke to Joseph day after day, but he did not listen to her to lie with her or to be with her. Then it happened about this time that Joseph went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the men of the house were indoors. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out. And when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled away, she called to the men of her household and said to him, "Behold, He has brought in a Hebrew to us to mock and to insult us. He came in where I was to lie with me, and I screamed at the top of my voice. And when he heard me screaming and crying, he left his garment with me and fled and got out of the house. Now, that didn't make any sense to me. He left his garment with me. That would incriminate him. And she laid up his garment by her until her master came home. Then she told him the same story, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came to look, to mock, and to insult me, and when I screamed and cried, he left his garment with me and fled out. And when Joseph's master heard the words of his wife, saying to him, this is the way your servant treated me, his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the state prisoners were confined, so he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and loving kindness and gave him favor in the sight of the warden of the prison. And the warden of the prison committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatsoever was done there was in his charge. What he was in charge of it. The prison warden paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, for the Lord was with him and made whatever he did to prosper. Now I want you to understand something here. Now he's in a bad place. But what we're going to see what happens, he's in a place he doesn't want to be. But God uses him in a place he doesn't want to be. He solves some problems, okay? It's part of his training. Now, sometime later, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, offered their lord Egypt's king and the offended their lord Egypt's king. And Pharaoh was angry with his officers, the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. He put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. Now, see, he's in training here. He doesn't know he's going to be chancellor of Egypt. He doesn't know how long he's going to be there. As far as he's concerned, he'll be there for the rest of his life. And the captain of the guard put them in Joseph's charge, and he served them, and they continued in custody for some time, and they both dreamed a dream in the same night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison. When Joseph came to them in the morning and looked at them, he saw that they were sad and depressed. You know, he could be angry and say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to help anybody. I'm just mad at the Lord. Why do you have me here? Think about it. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so dejected and sad today? And they said to him, we have dreamed dreams, and there is no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream I saw a vine before me, and on the vine were three branches. Then it was as though it budded. Its blossoms burst forth, and the clusters of them brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. Then I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will again put Pharaoh's cup into his hand as when you were his butler. And think of me when it shall be well with you, and show kindness, I beg you, to me, and mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For truly I was carried away. See, he wanted to get out of his mess too. For truly I was carried away from the land of the Hebrews by unlawful force, and here too I have done nothing for which they should put me into the dungeon. So here's Joseph. God's got him confined. He's got him in a place to train him. And bad stuff comes his way, you know, and he ends up in the prison. So what happens? He can't help but use his gift. He can't help but let God use him to help somebody else. God's watching. He's overseeing what's going on with Joseph. And when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also dreamed, and behold, I had 3 cake baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket were some of the kinds of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating out of the baskets on my head. And Joseph answered, this is the interpretation of it. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head, but we'll have you beheaded and hung on a tree. and the birds will eat your flesh. And on the third day, Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the heads of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler to his butlership. And the butler gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker Joseph had interpreted to them. But the chief butler gave no thought to Joseph, but forgot about him. So this was a knotty problem, and God supplied the witty invention, the dream, the wisdom to solve it. Okay, 41. After 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed that he stood by the river Nile. And behold, there came up out of the river Nile 7 well-favored cows, sleek and handsome and fat. And they gazed in the reed grass in a marshy pasture. And behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river Nile, ill-favored and gaunt and ugly, and stood by the fat cows on the brink of the river Nile. And the ill-favored, gaunt, and ugly cows ate up the 7 well-favored and fat cows. And Pharaoh woke. But he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain come up out of one stalk, plump and good. And behold, after them 7 ears of grain sprouted thin and blighted by the east wind, and the 7 thin ears of grain devoured the 7 plump and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So when morning came, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians and all the wise men of Egypt, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them to him. Then the chief butler said to Pharaoh, I remember my faults today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, we dreamed a dream in the same night. He and I we dreamed each of us according to the significance, the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard and chief executioner. And we told him our dreams, and he interpreted them to us, to each man according to the significance of his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came to pass, I was restored to my office as chief butler, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. But Joseph first shaved himself, changed his clothes, and made himself presentable. Then he came into Pharaoh's presence, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've dreamed a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it, and I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream and interpret it. So I'm not going to read their dream. He tells the whole thing. All right, verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the two dreams are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years. The 7 good ears of grain are 7 years. The two dreams are one in their meaning. The 7 thin and ill-favored cows that came up after them are 7 years. And also the 7 empty ears of grain. Blighted and shriveled by the east wind, they are 7 years of hunger and famine. This is the message, just as I have told Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Take note, 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt are coming. Then there will come 7 years of hunger and famine, and there will be so much want that all the great abundance of the previous years will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and hunger, destitution, starvation will exhaust, consume, finish the land. And the plenty will become quite unknown in the land because of that following famine, for it will be very woefully severe. That the dream was sent twice to Pharaoh and in two forms indicates that this thing which God will very soon bring to pass is fully prepared and established by God. So now let Pharaoh seek out and provide a man discreet, understanding, proficient, and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt as governor. Let Pharaoh do this. Then let him select and appoint officers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the whole land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, year by year. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and lay up grain under the direction and authority of Pharaoh, and let them retain food in fortified granaries in the cities. And that food shall be put in store for the country against the 7 years of hunger and famine that are to come upon the land of Egypt, so that the land may not be ruined and cut off by the famine. And the plan seemed good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can you find this man's equal, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, forasmuch as your God has shown you all this, there's nobody as intelligent and discreet and understanding and wise as you are. You shall have charge over my house, and all my people shall be governed according to your word. Only in matters of the throne will I be greater than you are. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. So you see here, knotty problems. And here came witty inventions to solve those problems. I believe this is what, and I've had this experience through the years, the Lord giving me words for people, kind of like this. So, you know, this is what God wants to do through all of us. Wisdom. the solving of knotty problems. People are fretting and stewing over their problems, and here comes somebody with the wisdom of God that can give them a solution. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants not just me as a prophet, but you. We all have the Spirit of God in us. We all can hear from God. Because everywhere we go, people have problems. And instead of deploring our situation, we don't want to make Hillary right, being deplorables. God wants us to take advantage of the situation and let Him use us even in it. Because it's part of our training. It's getting us to where He wants us to be. And one of these days, we'll get the call, Pharaoh on the other line. Okay.